At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Dork Podcast. It's the Dork Podcast.
Rich Keith.
It's the Dork Podcast.
Hashtag.
It's the Hashtag Dork Podcast.
Hey, thanks for tuning in to another episode of Hashtag Dork. My name is Rich Keith, joined as always by Rickon Von Dickon, Ryan Davey. Davey, how are you?
I'm okay. I'm having a, I was doing some research about what we're doing today.
Yeah.
And mixed emotions.
Yeah, this is sort of, you know, we debated not doing this at all. This is the Game of Thrones season 8 season recap. If you go back through the podcast or if you go back through YouTube, we did an episode recap after each and every episode. We're like, and then after the way it ended, we were like, do we really want to do this? Do we really want to go relive all of this? But here we are. Here we are. It is,
we're doing it.
It's still one of the great shows of all time, though, right, Ryan?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you have to. And again, I think I said this the very last, right after the last episode aired. I said, if someone asked me today, I've never seen an episode, should I watch it? Absolutely. You should absolutely watch it. Because I think binging it makes it sting a little less.
Oh, that's probably a good point. Yeah. I mean, the buildup, the year and a half off.
Right.
And then we even sort of, I didn't want to believe it, but we sort of felt like as season 7 was going on, we're like, it wasn't as good as it had been, but I was like, I was like in denial about it. I'm like, oh, this is great. This is going to be just fine.
I would definitely say, oh, there he is. It's about time.
Look who fucking showed up. It's Chris Scheim, Scheim Time Baby. What's up, Scheim?
Not much. How are we doing, guys?
Oh, we're rolling. We are live right now, and we are just talking about how we weren't sure if we were going to do this episode, but yet here we are. This is
I figured Davey showed up late like the first couple times I did this, so I had to do it this time.
Yeah.
Okay.
All good. Fair. All good. Hey, it's all good. Just, it was building suspense. People are like, where is he? Where is he? Where is he? And he's here. So before we get into best and worst from the season, one of the things I thought of as soon as our last episode was over about a potential theory or something that would have been cool to see. If you guys have any of those, now's the time. Mine would be this. When Danny got picked up by Drogon and he like flew her away, like we didn't know where they were going. We knew that Drogon had her. My hope, and we know how smart they are, by the way. The dragons are goddamn real intelligent.
They understand metaphors.
They get the whole thing. They sure do. They're so advanced.
Symbolism,
Ryan, is what it is. What if Drogon took Dany to find a red priestess or a red lady or whatever to bring her back to life?
They're out there. They are out there.
Come on. You know? Come on. Pretty good.
Things, they like fire.
Pretty great.
Lord of Light people like fire. That's not bad.
Okay. I think that would give you a little something. Or if they brought her north of the wall and then something happened where she came back and she was like the Night Queen.
Ooh. Oh, that'd be nuts.
Okay. All right. See, this
now we're talking.
Now,
yeah.
Now, okay.
Now we're talking.
Now I'm just trying to save it. Just trying to save the goddamn experience for everybody. What do you guys got? Do you have anything? That's a no.
There has to be some sort of what's west of Westeros, you know? Like there has to be something there. Something that we haven't seen. Now, what if Drogon took her back to the, remember the wizards that they found in not Dorne? Was it Dorne?
No. Wizards?
This guy with like the black teeth.
No. That's back in the very first city that Dany goes to. Karth.
Yes, Karth. That's
Koth.
Right.
With like Pyat Pree, and he's the bald guy with the weird looking face. Yeah.
Yes. I just needed something. That's all. I needed something to sort of set you up for, even if they're not bringing back any seasons, I just didn't need a close.
No, I think we're done. I think we've closed this circle. I think we're all done
right.
Here.
All right, gang, here we go. Best and worst. What do we got? Best. Do we want to start in a good mood or end in the best mood possible? Where are we going here?
I think we got to start good. I think we got to start positive.
Okay, let's start positive.
All right, best thing. Let's start with you, Shine. What was the... We each have like a top five list here. So what was one of the best things from the season?
So one of the best things for me from the season, without a question, I mentioned it multiple times. I think just overall through every episode was the cinematography in this show. I understand that people had their issues with episode 3, but I felt like overall the way this show was shot from start to finish was some of the best cinematography we've seen in a television show ever given to us on television. It's a little redundant, I know. But I think the real thing behind it is that I don't think any TV show has had this kind of budget, which has helped a lot. But at the same time, I don't think anybody put the time and effort into how something was shot the way this show was.
Yeah, that's definitely true. It looked cool.
And they went to like incredible locations too. Like it wasn't just they were on a sound. They were on a sound stage for a good portion of it. Watching that documentary, you could see some things were like on a sound stage, but like they would have to travel to like Iceland, right, and Ireland, mm-hmm, and Spain, where did they go? They went to Spain. Like it was crazy. Like all the locations, how expensive that is right, it has to be like astronomical. That must have eaten up like 60% of the budget.
Oh yeah, just that was insane. But it definitely looked really cool, which makes it even, well, again, we're focusing on the good. I was going to say, makes it even worse because they did such an amazing job of like building this world and like showing you like what, like just how incredible it can be and how different some of these different locations are. And then anyway, continuing best. Ryan, what do you have for best?
My favorite thing throughout the entire show, and I'm going to actually get two characters here. There are two story arcs that I thought through 8 seasons were the best. That being of Tyrion Lannister and Arya Stark. Like to me, those are the two standouts of the show. Watching Tyrion, I went back and I watched a little bit of season 1, and watching Tyrion in season 1, like episode 1, and then watching him at the final. And there's something that said, by the way, did you know there are 69 episodes of Game of Thrones?
No, they're not.
No, there's not.
There's like 72.
All right. So I was reading some thing. No, listen. It was one of the, out of 72 episodes, like Tyrion Lannister is in 69 of them.
Nice.
Yeah, he was in the most out of anybody.
Nice. You know, so who was in probably the least? Bran. But anyway.
Got him.
No, we're doing best. We're doing best.
Rickon was probably in the least.
Rickon was not in a ton. That's a good point.
Watching Tyrion Lannister throughout the entire show was pretty incredible. Like that character's arc. And obviously Arya was the best part of this season, hands down for me.
Yeah, so like one of my best things was Arya killing the Night King. However, it's not how she did it, it's not how quick it happened, it's not that, but just if you just told me ahead of time that they chose Arya to kill the Night King, I'd be in favor of that. I'd be like, all right, that's cool, that's fine. Again, how they did it, the build up to it, how kind of weak they made the Night King look, I don't like that. That might be on a different list, but I'm just saying Arya, Arya herself, similar to Jon killing Dany, perfect. Like, again, the way the story was built up, the way the two of them together, the whole thing, the connection, and then he knew he had to do it. Perfect. Again, how you got there, wrong, not the best, but like who Subpar. Killed who, both of those I thought were good. Like, I'll put those in the good list for now.
What do you got?
Clegane Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
Clegane Bowl. Just on my list, too. Yeah. One of the best things from this season, one of the few things that we'd sort of anticipated for a while, and then it happened. This didn't need to be a whole episode. It wasn't going to be. Like, it wasn't going to be a 60-minute fight. Didn't have to be. But it was brutal. And just, you know, the Hound had some good lines in there. And then fittingly, like, sacrificing himself to kill him and going into the fire of all places.
Mm-hmm.
Like a brutal fight, too. And, like, stabbing him in the eye and everything else. Like, that was all. So, Clegane Bowl, we were hoping for it. Season 7, didn't get it. Got it here. And I thought it was really good.
Yeah, and like you said, it was fitting that it wasn't, they have these, you know, almost like a dance fight choreography that they do with some of these characters. And then it was just like a head-on car crash. Like
Oh, yeah.
So like that was, it was good that that wasn't their style. They didn't try to like, you know, spruce it up at all. It was just bare bones, bare knuckle, like right at each other. So which is, that was good. I really liked that.
Exactly.
Sean, back to you.
I think my next thing, we've mentioned it already a couple of times now. I think the way they filmed the final John and Danny scene was perfect. I think the way that it all led up and boiled up to the point where John felt the need that he had. Oh, Jesus. My bad.
Rock and roll.
Yeah. Where John felt he had to kill Danny, I think is one of the better decisions they made in this show. Now, granted, there are some negatives that go along with that because I wish they had stopped it after that. But at the same time, I think that scene of just John plunging the dagger, that split second of you not knowing who killed who, and then you pulling away and John gets comes down to his knees as he's holding Danny was one of the better choices of this season.
That was good. It was good.
That was good. Yeah, and I watched the build-up to it. Oh, did you watch the documentary thing?
Just that piece where, like, they read it at the table read, and he actually started, like, you got a little lump. You got a little lump.
Yeah, Kit Harington laughed at it.
He, like, looked up. He's like, what? You're like, yeah. And they could probably read through the dialogue super quick because there's no lines for anybody. But anyway.
That's, yeah, right.
Forget that. But also, the first half of the final episode was very good, and it included that part. I was sort of like the cutoff of it. But also, it included that amazing scene of Dany walking towards her army and then Drogon's wings behind her. That was sick. Like, that should be a poster. Like, I'm sure it already is a poster.
It has to be somewhere, right?
That's a good poster is what that is. But there were some good images of that. And
you probably take the place of that Grindhouse poster behind you.
You don't like Grindhouse? Come on. She's got, you know, a machine gun leg. Pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, it's a double feature. So
nice.
You know, death proof as well. It's not bad.
It's not bad.
I thought Drogon, though, was pretty good. If we're focusing on the good right now, Drogon had some good scenes. Like earlier when he was staring at John, remember when John and Danny were making out? It was just like his face, like staring at him. Like that was really good.
Super uncomfortable.
Oh, what? Really uncomfortable. And then him covered in the snow was good. Mm-hmm. And then him at the end.
Or him come when Varys died and he came out of like the darkness. Like,
oh, that my was God. Great shot, that too. Was incredible.
That was a great
Burns
shot.
Burns him alive.
Yeah, Drogon might have been. Drogon and Arya were probably the two MVPs of the whole season.
I don't sleep on that. You want to hear my next good?
Yeah, I do.
Ooh.
Tormund, Giantsbane.
Mm. Oh.
Like, talk about like a season that was like heavy and a season that was like a little like dark, like literally and figuratively. To have that guy be the character he was in those moments, like almost saved the show, saved the season for me because like it's almost like we started taking it a little too seriously. And then he's told that story about suckling at the giant's teeth. Like that was just good. Unbelievable.
Was
and
then
crying when Brienne goes off with Jamie and like all that's like that was brilliant. Like,
is
that
the, is brilliant. The big woman here? Like so which episodes do you think were the best? So there's six episodes total. Which two do you think were the two best episodes?
Oof.
Two and five, maybe?
So my initial reaction was one and two, which is weird because they had the least amount of action. But one and two also were not written by Benioff and Weiss. They wrote three, four, five, and six.
That's probably why.
Which I found kind of interesting. But it was also more like more build, and it was more like, all right, like episode one was clearly just setting everybody up. I thought it was a really good ending with Jaime coming back or showing up at Winterfell. Like that was pretty sweet. And then A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms was just sort of the long buildup. And like, again, it was really well done. I thought like the whole stuff with Arya and Gendry, Beric and the Hound talking to each other, like all that stuff. And then obviously the stuff with Jaime and Brienne. So it was a great setup. And then unfortunately you got, you know, the next couple episodes, which weren't as good.
Yeah. So I think, so that's the episode. Two's the one where they're all just sitting around drinking the night before.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that was my favorite episode of the season. Like you said, nothing happens, but I think the sense I got was that that's what they wanted. Like, cause everybody in that episode is like we got to go like we, but like there's nothing happening.
Yeah.
So like everyone's on edge. Like, so you're watching that and you're like, they could be there any minute.
Right.
You know, what are you doing? You're sitting around drinking. Like, what are you doing? And like, I think that was supposed to be the feeling of that episode. So in that regard, I liked that episode a lot. And I think that's it. I mean, for me, like that's my clear winner. I don't know. Pick them for the next one, you know?
No, I'm with you. I think, two was probably the best. Like, go back and watch that. All right, what else do we have for best? Anything else for best? Try to sway somebody.
You know, I really, one more character that I would mention that I really appreciated their story is Sansa Stark. She kind of fell off towards the end. You know, why didn't you just say in that meeting at the end that Jon was a Targaryen? Why didn't you? You were so quick to tell when he told you not to tell, and you told the one guy you shouldn't have, and that the one time you should have said it, you didn't.
Right, but that didn't ultimately make any sense. Did that even matter?
And that we'll get to that. we'll get to that.
We got a whole lot of that coming up.
But I like the whole looking at the season as a whole. I liked what they did with that character of Sansa. Basically, all the Starks except for one of them. We'll get to that.
And like again, up until the ending, which is a whole other thing. But Arya was the one that tipped everybody off to, I think it was episode one, that Sansa's the smartest person she knows. Yep. And then that was when we, I think, all sort of as a group stopped and were like, well, wait a minute. Tyrion's been screwing up. Varys knows things, but like, I don't know, you know.
I think he's looking to commit treason and get himself.
And killed. Like she's probably passed him by. Littlefinger's dead. So you're like, all right, who's the smartest character left? And I think all season it was Sansa.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's absolutely correct.
All right. So that's good. Let's get into the bad.
Oh boy, here we go.
Oh God. where do we begin?
Well, let me begin with this.
You begin.
I want whoever's watching, how many people we got watching right now? Do we know?
Probably not a ton.
Like 11.
Okay. So I like this show. Whatever we say next, please understand that I like this show. It's not without its faults. It's not without some things that kind of like irked me a little bit, but please understand that this is a 6 out of 6 show as a whole.
Yep. And just, I'll still recommend it to other people.
Anyone who is like, should I start watching? Be like, absolutely, you should.
But you think it's a 6 out of 6 show even after this season?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yep.
Because I don't know, man. Yeah, maybe. I think the longer I get away from it, because again, if this isn't a 6, then there's only like a couple of 6s ever then.
Well, so I look at it like this too.
Breaking Bad and The Wire are both 6s to me. And then
Sopranos is close.
Yeah, but to me, their last season kind of hurt. Their finale and the whole last season hurt.
Does that take away from the entire show?
Yeah, it can't take away from all of it. But
right, maybe you knock it down to 5.5. I don't know.
All right,
we round up.
But yeah, no, this was good. This was a good show overall.
Mm-hmm.
Dare I say a great show?
One of the best ever.
Great. Yeah.
All right. So,
who wants to go first?
the two that jump out to me would again be the Night King.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I talked about how I thought it was cool that they chose Arya to kill him. That's great. But how they did it, not great. And the buildup, like we talked about, episode 2 was so good, but them preparing for the fight and talking about the fight lasted longer than the actual fight.
Yeah, and
that
I think
can't happen.
And Shime, you would know better than me, but I read the first two books, and this was introduced at the very beginning as something that was going to be like cataclysmic.
Yeah, well, so like the opening scene of the books and even in the show was a man beyond the wall encounters these things and is so petrified that he abandons his post at the Night's Watch completely and is willing to die of treason because he's so scared of these things.
And then, like I said, so yeah, I remember that from the first book and I remember that from the very first episode of the show. But then it just didn't hit like at all. Like it just, it, like you said, it was over before I knew.
And was it like season 5 where we saw the Night King and they had that battle and then
Hard Home. Yep. Season 5, episode 8.
Perfect. So you saw that and you're like, holy smokes. And like, so you could see the fear in John's eyes and like everybody else. Yeah. And they see that and you're like, this guy is the greatest villain of all time. Like forget Cersei, forget Ramsay. Like this is the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was, again, it was a long wait, which is good. It wasn't just filler. It was like a wait. They had to convince them that this was the real battle. Like all of that stuff that they went through, the whole thing of them going out there, kidnapping one, they lost a frigging dragon over it. Yep. Then they get saved. They go through, they convince Cersei, although not really, because she, like, you know, she then backs out of it, but they at least showed her a White Walker, and then nothing. Like, and then it's just, you know, you light the torches on fire with Melisandre. You're like, okay, that's cool. That was a good scene.
Yep.
And then not really much. And then the whole part with Bran still didn't make any sense to me. Like, what was he waiting for?
Okay, so this is not to steal your thunder, but this is my negative was there of this season was that all of the mythology that they've built up until this point seemed to be disregarded this entire season.
Just thrown out the window.
Yes, like, that's a good point.
In the end, and this is the big one, like in the end, like Jon being a Targaryen, the thing that we waited six seasons for didn't matter.
Nothing.
It didn't matter. Bran being the three-eyed raven didn't matter. Arya becoming a face-swapping assassin, nothing.
Didn't matter.
What's it, the Golden Company or whatever?
didn't matter.
Didn't matter. Like, none of that stuff mattered. And I think...
Well, like, the connection, like, with... I know we've kind of bitched about it a lot, but in all seriousness, like, Jon's connection with Ghost or just the Starks' connection with direwolves or just whatever, nothing. Nothing at all.
And I think that, if anything bothered me more, nothing bothered me more than that. It was just a dis... It seemed like you just, like, well, we don't have time to really deal with that, so we'll just chuck it.
Yeah. There's a lot of that.
It seemed careless to me, if that's the word I would use.
And it was the show that relied so heavily on things like prophecy that really kind of frustrated me because in the early seasons, it meant something. You were given a prophecy and it was people were scared that it would come true or people were determined to make it come true.
Right.
And they fought so hard for those prophecies and for against or for those things. And then we have these prophecies like the prince that was promised and the long night and all these things. And you're given the perfect opportunity to come through with those prophecies and you throw it out the window.
Like
and
the long night was one night.
It was literally a night. It was literally like 8 hours.
Honestly, the night before felt longer.
Yeah.
The night before where they're all hanging out drinking and knighting people. That felt like a longer night.
And you even have like the prophecy of Cersei where she has her three kids and they're all going to die. But then she is going to be cast down by a queen more beautiful than her. But she'll be killed by the hands of the Valonqar, which I understand is kind of a gray area because they never actually use the Valonqar term in the show. But at the same time, it's a prophecy. Yeah, it just about everyone was aware of and knew of. And it's something that you just... It's like, nah, we're just going to bury her under a few bricks.
You know what they also never really
throw it out the window.
They also never really paid off was, remember the conversation Melisandre had with Varys? And she was like, I need to die on this world. And like, so do you, or like, we both need to die here. Like, you still don't really know why. Like, they didn't happen.
That's just this whole prophecy thing that just didn't really make any sense. And I think that's the issue I had was that by doing what you did in this last season, none of that made any sense.
None of it.
Now, so going in, we've known for over a year that they were only going to have six episodes. Should we have known that they were kind of screwing themselves? Like, there's no way they're going to finish it.
No, I think the issue I had with the episode one of this season just seemed to like a waste of time.
A lot of this season seemed like a waste of time. Like, if you look back on it, if they had reallocated their time properly, we would have – this season could have crushed. Like, if you – just this one simple move. If you take out the final 45 minutes of the final episode and you add that into episode three, right? Basically, and even trim it off. So instead of having a bunch of 80-minute episodes, you have seven 60-minute episodes, right? Mm-hmm. And so now you have the ending that would have been perfect, that would have stunned everyone, and you're going to extend the long night and allow yourself the opportunity to flesh that out more and show us how purely villainous the Night King is. And instead, you just fucking blew it.
Like, the Night King never fought anybody.
He killed Viserion. That's it.
He literally didn't draw his sword one time.
That's insane.
In eight seasons.
But he did this like a couple times.
Yeah, he did raise his hands.
But
he raised his hands and he threw a fucking javelin and killed a dragon. So that's pretty impressive.
Used like a scythe on Blood Raven.
Right, and yet he gets snuck up on, and he's not even, it's one thing if he got, like, say he was engaged in battle with Jon Snow and then gets stabbed in the neck by Arya, like from the side. But he never even took his sword out. He never fought anybody.
He was looking at Bran the whole time.
Like, shouldn't he have, like, seen Jorah and, like, mowed down Jorah? Because, like, we know how good Jorah is. We've seen Jorah fight in the pits and everything else. We know how good he is. If he mauled him, you're like, okay, that's something. And then if he just kept going and just started kicking ass, he didn't fight anybody. He didn't do anything.
They even had the perfect opportunity. It's like he gets knocked off his dragon. He's untouched by the dragon flames, right? And Jon Snow's chasing after him. Instead of him turning around and doing his little fucking necromancer shit and raising the dead, all he had to do was draw his sword and just dominate Jon Snow. You don't have to kill him, but you just have to show how imposing that this villain is and show everyone that no one can beat him. Not even the resurrected guy who's supposed to be like Jesus Christ can beat this thing. And then you are like, then the ultimate fear is put in you. Like, how are you going to stop this?
So what's also messed up about it too is he killed a dragon, and so we'd never seen that before. We had never seen anybody kill a dragon, so that, like, really props him up. Like, holy shit, like, what a big deal. Then in this season, Rhaegal gets killed by Euron Greyjoy, and it's, like, kind of swept under the rug. It's, like, not really that big of a deal, and, like, they do it really easily, and Davey's given us lessons on how you load those goddamn arrow things. You can't load them that quick, and guess what? Even the show realized that, because, like, the next episode, they weren't loading them that quick.
Right.
They were just firing off all kinds of arrows. They kill a dragon. So Euron is the first human to kill a dragon in, what, like, a thousand, or no, not a thousand, but, like, in a long-ass time.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, no big deal. And then guess what? The next time we face a dragon, we're going to be completely outmatched.
There's one of them.
And he's going to destroy the entire
city. It levels an entire fleet of ships. It levels an entire army. It levels an entire city. One of them.
It was also the biggest of all the dragons, therefore creating the biggest target, which nobody hit.
No. And, like, that's what I just get so mad. And, like, I have no problem. And we talk about, superhero movies all the time. And it's like, as soon as you establish something, I'm all on board. All right. This person can fly. Good. Got it. Like, this person can, you know, shoot ice from his hands. Fine. We got it. So once you set up what the dragons can do and then what the people fighting the dragons can do, like, it needs to be consistent. You can't just go, like, one up, like, all willy nilly. So that was a pain in the ass.
Euron Greyjoy might have been my least favorite character on the show.
Yeah, he was a bust. And, like, Shark said he was much better in the book. And Shime, you were
way
telling me
better too, in the book.
He's significantly,
like,
better.
Imagine, like, a pirate with an eye patch who underneath the eye patch has a, like, hypnotic eye that can kind of control people's minds and also owns a horn that is powerful enough to bind a dragon. But when you blow it, you literally melt.
Like, gnarly axe too?
Yeah, his brother, Victarion, which they never introduced in the show, is like this dude who, like, double wields axes and just mows through people on boats.
Euron was like a late add, and then they're like, oh, we can use him. And then
they did such a sloppy job.
Do you know who he reminded me of? You remember in the very first Fast and Furious, like, Vin Diesel's friend with the beard, with, like, all the tattoos, who, like, hated?
Yeah.
He looked just like, he reminded me of that character.
Yeah, that was bad.
Like, that's a terrible, but you get it.
Not a great character.
Now that I said that, you're like, yeah, he kind of does.
How about Cersei being killed by rocks? And
How about Cersei having, like, three lines the entire season? She just stood there. She stood in the window for 8 episodes.
And she made, like, $1.5 million an episode, I think.
6 episodes, yeah.
I think stupid. She did. Yeah, she was useless. And it's funny because there was an article written about how Lena Headley, who plays Cersei, and Maisie Williams, who plays Arya, like, they were trying not to, like, rip the writers or anything. Mm-hmm. But you could tell they were like, we were really hoping to have a scene together. It would have been pretty cool for Cersei and Arya to be in a scene together. Like, would have been a payoff. Even Arya, so much so, was like, yeah, if I died after I killed her, like, it would have been a payoff. And you're like, would have been a payoff. It would have been perfect.
Yeah, because what is Arya doing now? Nothing.
She actually, you know what she's doing?
Of Westeros.
She is going to find out either that the world is round or that the world is flat. That is what she is going to find out. Because if she keeps going west, all of a sudden she's going to be like, oh, I'm in Dorne again? Like,
whoop-dee-doo.
Whoops.
Yeah, did we talk about it last time? Like, why does Bran need a Master of Whispers?
Yeah, why does Bran need anything?
He doesn't.
doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
He's Professor X.
And yeah. I think they broke the wheel and all this stuff. Why would they need a Master of War or a what anything?
The King. Why do they need any of that?
They don't need anything. This guy's supposed to know everything, right?
That was one of the worst inconsistencies of the entire thing was you could almost look the other way on all the brand bullshit through seven seasons, although he wasn't even in a whole season. But you could look the other way and you're like, I don't really get it, but whatever. Three-Eyed Raven, that's a weird – he's got a lot going on. Whatever. But you can't have him say, like, I don't want anything.
I'm not a lord anymore.
Yeah, I'm not a lord. Yeah. I'm not even Bran Stark. And then now it's like, Bran,
Bran Stark.
Story. Let's give it to Bran. You're like, hey, Bran, you want to be king? He's like, I didn't come all this way for nothing. And you're like,
I don't really want anymore. Then you clearly don't want the throne or to help anybody in the realm.
So it can't be both those things. It can't be all those things. People dragged his ass around for six seasons.
Did you see that thing that people said they tipped it? At the very first poster for the show with Sean Bean sitting on the Iron Throne, there's a raven to his right. There's the three-eyed raven is sitting on the throne next to him. You see that? You
heard about that? Not.
Yeah. If you look at the original poster for the first season, it's Sean Bean sitting with Ice on the throne. And to his right is there's the three-eyed raven.
I feel like that was unintentional.
I also feel like that. I feel like it's a three-eyed raven. I'm like, it's a bird. Like, you don't know what it is.
My buddy tried to tell me so that in the opening, like in the one of the opening scenes of the show, when Ned cuts off the head of the guy that like betrayed his post.
The Night Watch, yeah.
Yeah, when the person says like in the rightful king of the Andals, like it pans to Jon and Bran, and like Bran is technically center camera, and so my buddy said that they were trying to hint at that, but I go, they didn't even know that Bran was gonna win that early. There's no way
they could have known.
They didn't know what they were gonna do until season six was over. There's no way.
No, they didn't know. One thing though, you know how every season they change like the opening like scroll, like the credits or whatever, and so this one they made a point to go like underneath like the throne room and everything, and like where like the dragon was. Remember that whole scene? They go underneath, and so I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool. Like, because they're showing like that's where the last dragon was and where like, you know, the Targaryens fell. But it was like, that's kind of significant. And then clearly it was, as that's where Cersei and Jaime died. But that was just not. Now, one thing people complained about that I didn't care as much about was, so Jaime hooks up with Brienne, and then he's like, I'll see you later. I gotta go check on Cersei. And everyone was like, well, that's not the character Jaime is. I'm like, I think it kind of is.
It absolutely is.
I think it kind of is. So like, I think that is fitting. But there also should have been some debate. Like, does he want to save her? Does he want to kill her? Is he like kind of caught in between? Like, I'm fine with him leaving Brienne. I don't think that's really a criticism that's worth.
No, what do you think?
They should have had married sex in the first place.
Oh, he and Brienne?
Yeah, I think that was a useless scene. Like, it's like these people don't like it's. They're like Jamie's. That's the thing about Jaime is he's addicted to Cersei to the point where it's like they are like one person. Like they are like literally two parts of the same coin. And it, the idea that Jaime would go and ever kind of have sex with another woman doesn't really ring true. Granted, Cersei did it, but that's because Cersei is this evil, conniving bitch.
Yeah.
But Jaime is not that way at all. He never has been.
But I think Jaime did what he did. Because he knew that Cersei was going to die, and he didn't want to be in the world without her.
Well, yeah, he always said,
"Yeah,
we came into this world together, we'll leave together."
Yeah.
Yeah, so I actually thought that was fitting. Like, it's fine. I don't know why people...
It makes sense.
But how they died is wrong.
Trash.
Especially when you consider how this show did so many deaths. Like, you go to Robb Stark and Catelyn Stark, Ned Stark, Joffrey, Ramsay... even Littlefinger, like recently, like you go through all these different characters, whether they were heroes or villains, and how they died, they almost all paid off. And now you take one of the greatest villains ever in Cersei, and then Jaime, who, man, like what both sides that he played this entire run, and then you're like, oh, I think they're dead. Like, remember, like people weren't even sure in between episode five and six. Like, well, maybe they got out of there because like. But it wasn't like a person. I know technically it was Dany and Drogon, but come on, that was so bad.
But I loved the scene, and I said this the last time we talked about this too. The scene where Tyrion found them.
Yes,
that was a really
Tyrion did a good job. Very well acted. That was good.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
The death thing. So really what it comes down to me, the ones that really stand out are Cersei dying the way she did, the Night King just looking soft, like his whole army looking soft, and then Bran being on the throne at the end. Like those and, three things, and horrible.
I'll add Jon's claim to the throne being meaningless.
Good point.
Jon's parent, like his heritage and his resurrection, both completely meaningless.
Yeah.
Because there's no, you cannot tell me that the only reason you brought Jon Snow back from the dead was to stab Dany. That doesn't work.
No, that's not good enough. And also, again, I know I've harped on this for six straight episodes, but no Dario Naharis or no Jaqen H'ghar. The reason it doesn't make sense, first of all, for Dario Naharis, that was a love interest for Dany and a really powerful person for Dany. So if she's losing all these people and starting to doubt herself, I don't know, wouldn't you call on that dude? Like, wouldn't you figure something out? Or even before that, the war, like the war to end all wars. And we have one of the greatest fighters ever. And like, I'll just let him do what he's doing. It's like, well, he might not be able to do what he's doing if you guys lose to the army of the dead.
Yeah.
And then the Jaqen H'ghar stuff, I just wanted to get more kind of, I could have used a little bit more, because weren't a lot of the theories like Jaqen H'ghar might have been a lot of different people, and like he sort of set up Arya from the long haul. And like,
you know what I would have loved is if you saw the last shot of Arya on the boat, and then he like pulled off like one of the guys on the boat with her pulled off like a mask, and it was Jaqen H'ghar.
Oh, I would have loved
it. He just walks into the camera scene behind her. Yeah. Like he doesn't even need to use the face thing at that point.
If he was like under a hood and he just like peeks out from under that shot, we like peek out from under the hood. Would have been awesome. Why don't we should write a television program. If we're going to motherfuck this show so much, we should write our own show.
We should write
Corgan Meek.
I'm in.
Corgan Meek. I'm going to write Corgan Meek.
Corgan Meek's Adventures. I think it could work.
Yeah.
All right. What else jumps out to you? Worse? Anything?
Like I said, my biggest problem was like like as Shyam said too, like the character of Jon Snow was so much emphasis was put on him from Jump Street, and it just fucking, you know, it doesn't sit right with me.
And me either. It pains me to no end that you set up a character very similar to, like we've said this before, like he was like a Jesus Christ figure. Like he was slated to be the birth of both fire and ice. He was the titular character without naming it after him.
Yeah.
And you brought him back from the dead, and it was supposed to be this unbelievably important moment in the world, and he was going to save everyone. He was the savior, the prince that was promised, and yet you got nothing. You got none of it.
And then you sent away the Unsullied, but still sent John to the Night Watch, which didn't exist anymore.
And here's the thing about that.
You could have just been like, yeah, we're sending him, and then just left him there. You know what I mean?
Here's the thing they never told us, too, is so Missandei said that she's from Nanth, which is an island of peaceful people. The reason they're peaceful people is because they don't have to defend their island, because their island is infested with poisonous butterflies. Now, these butterflies are poisonous to everyone not from Nanth, because I don't know why, but that's what it is.
Well, it's because everybody else is anti-vaxxers, maybe.
Yeah. And so when the Unsullied show up on Nanth, they're going to get like bitten by these butterflies, and their body is like the blood is going to boil from within them, and they're all gonna die anyway.
Well, how about someone saying that the Unsullied can take off and start families?
Oh wait, like, they can't.
They're like,
they're all eunuchs.
You're like, what? What do you mean start families?
Probably not. Just like Sansa's like, no, they can't. They can't have kids. Just like Bran can't.
Bran don't work.
Like that
dick don't work. Sorry.
Yeah.
We're aware, Sansa. Thank you.
Thank you, Sansa.
That's not what we're aiming at right now.
Yeah.
That's
not our thing. Tough go.
Well, that's my other point too from last episode was, speaking of Grey Worm, I don't think he would have been in the business of keeping Tyrion and Jon Snow as prisoners.
No, we just saw him execute five prisoners in the street.
And those guys didn't kill Dany, right? Yeah. Like,
and Jon like admitted to killing Dany. He's like, yeah, no, I did it. And Grey Worm's just like, I'm not going to kill you. I'm just going to hold you prisoner until we meet with your sisters, who I don't like, and a lot of other people that I don't like.
Yeah.
I also, I do find it a little hard to believe that Drogon wouldn't have killed Jon Snow, or at least kind of did a quick fire strike at him. And I know you say, well, he's got a good connection with Jon. He has an unbelievable connection. Dany's his mother. And if he was so like self-conscious about it or whatever, he wouldn't have killed a million people a second ago.
Well, how cool would it have been too if he did try to light him up and it didn't work?
That would have been a cool scene. That would have been good.
And then
trying to show you that, I don't know, either Drogon was really smart or like something just clicked. But I feel like if he was willing to kill a million people for her,
yeah,
as soon as she dies, he's not going to go soft on you.
Well, how cool would it have been if he breathed fire through him, melted the Iron Throne, and at the end, Jon's still standing there, and then Drogon, being as smart as he is, apparently,
yeah,
looking at him, realizing who he is, and then flying away.
And he just gives him a nodding look.
Like, as he's flying away, kind of like looks over his shoulder and's like,
yeah, he's like, oh, shit. Or he could have burned Jon, burned the throne, took off, and assumed he killed Jon.
Yeah.
And then Jon just kind of shakes out of it. And he's and he's completely naked.
Gives him one of these.
Yeah.
Or even better, we put to use our, face changing ninja. And so Grey Worm soldiers grab Jon and take him hostage. Arya kills them all and just helps Jon escape beyond the wall.
And she can't do that, though. That's not in her wheelhouse. We haven't seen. I'm kidding. We haven't seen her do that before. Right?
Yeah, exactly. I can't do that.
They also, what was interesting is we never saw any character turn into a White Walker, like any like real character turn into a White Walker.
You saw
the Night King created.
Yeah.
Didn't we? Well, didn't they do it to a baby?
Forever ago, yeah. We saw that guy. No, but I mean like when they were fighting, like Night King could have like turned somebody. Like I was waiting for that kind of thing, like for him to say like all of a sudden have Jorah on his side or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Never happened.
Never happened. Speaking of Mormonts, Lyanna Mormont was a high point for me too.
That was a good way of going out. Yeah. Kill the giant.
Yep.
Well done. Well done, lady. Well,
I'm going to end it on a high note there.
All right. I don't know, man. Good show.
It's going to take me a while. I'm still not over it yet. It's going to take me a while to circle back to this.
Are you guys going to watch the prequels?
No.
So I think I don't want a prequel series. If they give me a handful of prequel miniseries, I will be inclined to watch.
It's like a three-episode miniseries?
Or no, even just like a 6-episode to 10-episode, just like a one-season one-off.
Yeah.
That I am far more interested in than a full Arya spinoff series.
Because aren't they doing Night King stuff? Aren't they doing Long Night stuff? That's what I believe they're doing.
Long Night? They're going to do a 6-episode miniseries on a singular night?
I don't know.
They only gave us 45 minutes on a night that, happened. That
I want night. Robert's Rebellion and get those actors to.
And see like Rhaegar.
Yes.
Like that would be odd. Like just like a 6-episode series on Robert's Rebellion, 6 episodes on the Doom of Valyria, 6 episodes on the original prince that was promised. Like,
what about like the Stoneskins? What about those idiots? Where's that?
Yes, I know exactly. The guys that attacked Jorah and Tyrion.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh yeah, those guys.
Or the Blackfyre Rebellion is awesome, which is basically like the bastard Targaryens that wanted to be Targaryens but weren't Targaryens had their own rebellion and were like shunned to east of Westeros.
I want some of these poison butterflies you're talking about, though.
Those would be dope too. I mean, yeah,
they didn't include that. All right, so this is a spoiler for the book. I've never read the book, so I read that. I was going down a rabbit hole like,
ooh, I like rabbit
months holes. Ago. So, Shyam, can you explain to the people what happened to Catelyn Stark in the book?
Oh, yeah. So this is another completely unutilized thing. So, in the book, when Catelyn Stark is killed at the Red Wedding, it said like her body was pushed into a river, and her body kind of washed up on the side of the river and was discovered by the Brotherhood Without Banners.
Love those guys.
And so, in the books, it's believed that Beric basically kind of gave his life back to Catelyn so that Catelyn could rise again. And she can't really talk because, she got her throat slashed.
The Colombian necktie, they call that.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you, Davey, the expert.
You know what that is? That's when you slit someone's throat and pull their tongue out through their hole. Ooh. It's called the Colombian necktie.
All right.
Well, go ahead.
Okay.
When Catelyn is brought back to life, she's known now as Lady Stoneheart. And her mission is to kill all of the people involved with the Red Wedding. So every Lannister soldier or Lannister or Frey, every Frey, she wants all of them dead.
Even the ugly ones?
Yeah, even the ugly ones. Granted, it didn't really matter because Arya killed all the Freys in the show anyways, and Beric was basically there to save Arya. So I guess that was their reason for not doing it. But it would have been so dope to see zombie Catelyn leading the Brotherhood Without Banners and just killing a bunch of people in the Riverlands.
Hold up. I just thought of something, too.
Go ahead.
Speaking of zombies, what the fuck happened with Benjen Stark?
He got killed. Remember, he saved Jon?
Yeah.
Happened to be there, but yeah. That was like his last life. But in the
book, you didn't see him die.
Nope.
Yeah. Right. But so in the book, Catelyn turns into like this like vigilante warrior.
Yep.
Is Arya also like that in the book, or is she not as intense because you have Catelyn?
Arya's still in Braavos in the books. We don't know. The last thing I know in the books is Jon Snow dies, Stannis dies, and Arya's still in Braavos training.
Wow.
Interesting.
But how crazy is that that they just decided not to go with that whole Catelyn Stark character? Like, that's amazing.
Maybe the actress was like, no, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, she's like, I'm not.
It wasn't, isn't
well, you don't even need the actress at that point.
Yeah.
She's just Arya, like a blind zombie.
Isn't Arya blind for like an entire book?
Yeah, exactly. Well, she was blind for a while. And so, yeah, she's blind for basically, I think that's kind of where it leaves off in the books, is she's currently blind and like fighting the waif in the streets and stuff like that.
All right. Well, barring a Beric Dondarrion like return from the dead, this is probably it for Dem Thrones boys. This is probably it. I can't think of another.
If the Lord of Light comes into my life at some point, maybe we'll.
Maybe it could happen. Jon Snow got brought back. Beric got brought back a bunch. So maybe we could be brought back for something.
I'm just saying, too, what we could also do is if you guys are up to speed on your reading of graphic novels, we could be the Watch Boys.
For the Watch Boys.
When Watchmen comes out.
Watch Boys.
Or Boys. We do Watchmen and the Boys, and we jam together.
We don't Watch Boys, but we are the. That's not what? It. That's not what I'm going with. That's not it. It's not the thing.
Hold on. Are we the Watch Boys, Boys, Boys?
I don't know.
Yep,
we are. We got to rethink boys. This. We're going to bring this one back to the drawing board.
Boys.
Oh, yeah, with an I. Boys.
But you guys can hit us up at Dork Podcast on Twitter, dorkpodcast@gmail.com, or you can leave comments here on the YouTube page and let us know if there's any other shows we could do, any kind of like post-game show for. I think, again, Game of Thrones is as good as it's going to get with that many people that into it. I don't know if any other show like that exists, but who knows? Maybe it'll be something. Maybe it will be Watchmen. Probably not.
Something. Though. This is nothing.
This is nothing. Well, it's not. It's not nothing.
It's something.
Something. Any final thoughts, Ron?
This has been very fun. This is very fun. Please reach out at Arvon D and any and all social media. And we have a bit of news.
We got news.
Ooh. As of next week, starting Monday.
Do we have an alarm?
We have an alarm. Hit an alarm.
I don't think I have
Is that what?
Did you say it?
Go ahead.
Did you say it?
Yeah, go ahead. You should say it.
Streams back, baby. Woo! Streams back. Arvon D. Twitch.tv/Arvon D. We're back starting next week.
Love it.
The school year is ending. We're coming back with some hot things.
Ooh, hotter the better.
Hotter the better.
Concerned.
Yeah, man.
Shime Time, what are you up to?
So I'm actually, you know, I'm sad that I'm no longer going to be able to participate in Dem Thrones Boys, seeing as Dem Thrones Boys are retiring for now. But I am going to still be doing plenty of Game of Thrones content, as I am basically the content bicycle for the Triforce universe. And so you can find me over on the Back and Goo podcast multiple times in the future, including hopefully very soon. So there you go.
Very good. So that'll do it for this. We're probably going to get back into more of a regular schedule on the podcast. Obviously, Game of Thrones, we've been doing a bunch of Double Dork Weeks. This, I think, will be another Double Dork Week, however. Brightburn. We're going to do an episode on Brightburn.
I had to convince Rich to do this. And I said, like, he's like, I don't know, standalone, whatever. I'm like, it's a horror superhero movie. Like, if there's anything that we need to kind of cover, it's probably.
I heard it's pretty good.
I heard it's pretty good. So as far as horror movies go. So I'm excited.
Brightburn. There's a whole bunch of movies actually coming out. Godzilla, Dark Phoenix. So
probably a lot of we have to see Dark Phoenix, don't we?
Probably a lot of movie reviews coming up.
Oh yeah.
All right.
But all right, good stuff.
Oh, and E3. E3.
Oh, and E3. So yeah, some video game stuff. Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Oh yeah, big Pokemon news coming out next week.
Oh, for you guys care.
There it is. At Shime Time, at Arvon D, at Dork Podcast. Gentlemen, it's been a pleasure. The show was a bit of a letdown at the end, but overall it was a great show. So we gotta take the positives with some of the negatives here at the end. That'll do it for us. Thanks, everybody, for listening and subscribing. We'll talk to you soon. following this other or another perfect episode.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday brings you a new story. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.